the last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
James Comey, the former director of the FBI, sensationally fired by Donald Trump in the early months of his presidency, has a new book out. It's called Saving Justice. You may remember that James was a guest here on The Last Word when his previous book, The Comey Rules, was released. James, you're very welcome back to the program on this landmark day in American history, because shortly Joe Biden will be inaugurated as the new president of the United States. And I suspect many people will be relieved at the transition of power from Trump. So how would you describe your feelings about what's about to happen?
It's, first of all, thanks for having me, Matt. It's great to be with you again. I wish I was there in person. But here in Washington, it's a day of tremendous relief and anticipation, a little bit of nervousness as the city is locked down for security reasons. But I personally feel emotional. I feel like the sun is about to rise in America, even though it's already up. It's going to be up in a very important way come noontime here in the east of the U.S.
We've both used the word relief, but given what happened so dramatically, so disturbingly on Capitol Hill 2 weeks ago, what are your feelings about the thankful absence of similar acts of violence since that day? How hopeful are you that the peace will hold for the rest of today and indeed in the coming days?
I'm hopeful because we have, as a country, deployed extraordinary security resources to meet the threat. But that means there's a very real threat. There are thousands and thousands of people in this country who've been radicalized by the lies of a demagogue president and his enablers. They've been convinced that an election was stolen and they must rush to arms. That's a concerning situation. It's a threat that can be met. It is being met, but it hasn't gone away simply because we've locked down capitals in the 50 states and in our nation's capital.
Of course, so much concern in recent decades in the United States has been about the threat of terrorism coming from abroad, most notably because of what happened on 9/11. But arguably, is a greater threat to the security and future of the United States coming from within?
Yes, it is. In fact, my successor as FBI director said just that last summer and earned the ire of the then President Trump. He said the single largest threat we face domestically is from right-wing extremists, people, racist, misogynist, conspiracy-minded people. They've always been a part of America, always been a radioactive stew in our basement, but Donald Trump has coaxed them and energized them, invited them, incited them into the light, and you saw that explode on Capitol Hill. So it's not about Islamists trying to sneak into the United States. It's about thousands of Americans with easy access to firearms, having been radicalized.
But what is it about the United States that so many people, it's not just a small number, that so many people have believed so many of the lies that they've been told?
Well, it's because the United States is made up of human beings, and human beings are easily lied to. And when they're lied to by a very significant figure, here the President of the United States, over and over and over and over again, many of them believe it. That's a healthy part of a democracy, that you believe your leaders, except when your leader is a sociopath who's lying simply because he wants power. Good people believe that lie, and it's very hard to coax people out of a fog of fraud, which is where millions of Americans are now. But it's, I don't think it's something special about America, except that our system and our culture facilitated the rise of a true demagogue into the top position in our country.
I want to come back to lying in a little bit, because there are some fascinating passages in your book, Saving Justice, about the impact of lying. But I want to ask you about a recent suggestion that you made, that Joe Biden should consider pardoning Donald Trump. Why should he, you believe he should do that, given that you've also said that you believe Trump should be in prison?
Well, I personally, if I were still a prosecutor, would love to prosecute Donald Trump personally. But I'm not sure that's in the national interest in the United States, because I think the better of it, and it's a very close call, the better of it is that Joe Biden needs to heal this nation spiritually and physically, as we suffer now over 400,000 deaths from the coronavirus. And to do that, he's best able to do that if he doesn't have Donald Trump center stage in American life in an ongoing prosecution in the nation's capital. And so I think on balance, it would be better for the Department of Justice and the new administration not to pursue Trump, but to hold him accountable, convict him in the U.S. Senate, bar him from ever holding office again, and let the local cops pursue him in New York for the fraudster he was before we elected him. That way you hold him accountable, but you don't give him center stage in our national life.
Although an impeachment proceeding would do that. I'm interested in your taking that approach, because you do write in the book about how Trump and his Attorney General Bill Barr undermined the nation's trust in the Department of Justice. So how do you repair that if you don't prosecute Trump for what might be reasons of political expediency, or because you're fearful of the reaction of the violent mobs who seem to have flocked to him?
Well, it's a good question. It wouldn't be, at least if I were making the decisions, which I'm not, for either of those reasons. It's not about politics or about fear of the mob. It's about considering what are the collateral effects for the nation as a whole of having Donald Trump on a television drama every single day as United States versus Trump bumps along in our court process. And how does that compare to a situation where you essentially exile him to Florida, where he can do whatever he does down there, and Joe Biden gets about the business of trying to heal the country? And so to me, it's not a political call. It's not about mobs. It's about what is in the best interest of the nation. And it was done almost 50 years ago by a wise president who was very severely criticized at the time for letting Richard Nixon go when he resigned in disgrace. It turns out we, his posterity, now see that as a wise decision because it allowed the nation to move forward. And so that's why I think Joe Biden has to seriously consider such a thing.
As you write in the book, if participants in the justice system adopt the Trump model, truth is whatever I say it is, then justice is lost. To protect justice, liars must be held accountable. And there's another passage in your book that I just want to read to listeners because it really did grab me. In it you wrote, Donald Trump as president took lying to another level. Yes, he lied more often and about more things than any leader in our history, but he and his followers also did something profoundly dangerous. They attacked the idea that truth exists, that it can be found. This country's touchstone has long been the idea that truth is a real thing and that it must be sought and spoken. We must always understand that leaders make false statements, but we have never stopped measuring them against that touchstone. So elaborate a little bit on that for me, please, given if you make this almost tactical decision to let Trump fade out of the limelight rather than holding him accountable for all of those lies.
Well, as I said, it's a very hard call. It was a hard call when I wrote the book and finished it in the fall. It's even harder now. I just think that on balance, there are other mechanisms of accountability that make it clear to the American people that his behavior is unacceptable. The extraordinary second impeachment by our House of Representatives, a conviction by the Senate, those are strong signals that the rule of law matters in this country. They don't give him a permanent place in our Capitol on an ongoing TV drama. Maybe it's worth that cost. I just think that on balance, best not to give him that spotlight while also holding him accountable. It's really important, though, that we underline the fact that the truth really does exist, that there are things that are verifiable or falsifiable. Right? I'm sitting in a room about 10 miles from the Capitol. It's not raining in this room. If I said it was raining, I would be lying. That's not my perspective or your perspective. That's just truth or falsity. We have to not surrender the idea that that is a real thing. And we can do that even if the new administration decides not to prosecute him, but to hold him accountable in other ways.
Something else you pick up in the book, Saving Justice, that because you were fired, you may well have been saved from having to make very many difficult decisions continuing to work for Donald Trump. What do you make of the people who stayed in there and who did so on the basis that maybe they felt that they were going to ameliorate in some way the damage that he was actually doing? But how many of them then, in their own sense, became amoral because of suiting the president's whims?
Well, I suppose all circumstances are slightly different because all people are slightly different. But in the main, I think there are two groups. Those closest to the eye of Sauron, to the president and the Oval Office, who, for whatever reason, convinced themselves that the nation needed them there. And in being there, they bent themselves into a moral pretzel for this president. And then there are those a little farther out who stayed, like my successor as FBI director, and tried to survive in order to protect institutions. And so I think that first group was utterly amoral, fooled themselves in some way, but became enablers. That second group, I'm very glad that people like Christopher Wray, the current director of the FBI, stayed to protect the institution. As I write in the book, I bet that was really painful for him. because he's a person of integrity. But he reasoned, I think, that the FBI would be deeply damaged if a second director was fired and a Trump toady was put in there and confirmed by a absolutely worthless Republican Senate. So that's how I sorted. I sorted into two groups.
Okay, to finish, James Comey, I want to ask you to look away from Trump, to look to the future under Joe Biden. How difficult a job do you think he has to restore the faith in justice? How long will it take him to achieve it, and can it be achieved?
It can be achieved. I'm deeply optimistic about America in general and about the country's faith in the institutions of justice. It will return. America will return. Her demise has been predicted regularly over the last 250 years. We're going to be okay. Your listeners know this country. It's wonderful. It's screwed up, and it's incredibly resilient. And so are its people. The way that ground will be gained back is by Joe Biden simply radiating our national values, the things we hold dear. He has to be competent, honest, and empathetic. And if he does that, and his attorney general does similar things, we will gradually help people emerge from the fog of lies that Donald Trump has trapped them in.
There's one other thing I have to ask you, James Comey. There are many of our listeners who would have seen the Comey rules on television here in the run-up to the American presidential election. Were you happy with how it was made and its portrayal of you?
I think so. I was watching it for the first time. It was a little disorienting. With a smile, I said to the director, I didn't think that the person playing me was tall enough or funny enough. It didn't capture my Irish ancestry and my dark humor. I hope I still have that. But in the main, it was spot on, especially about capturing the quality of the people who work in those institutions of justice.
Funnily enough, I was about to say to you that the one thing, having met you when you were in Dublin a couple of years ago and watching the part being played by Jeff Daniels, I thought the other thing he didn't have, he certainly wasn't tall enough for the role. James Comey, thank you very much for taking the time to join us here on The Last Word at Today FM.
Great to be with you again. Thanks, Matt.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.